something special with the Unnamed Podcast. I've been doing this recently. You've been seeing a couple shifts with podcasting on the website, and then I've been doing a lot of experiments. This is kind of part of the experiment. If you listen to our last episode where we discussed my son, what have you done? It's a second episode with the new format. You might notice that something is a little missing, and you might think to yourself, maybe, yeah, they're still experimenting, they're still doing stuff. So this is part of the experiment. I've actually clipped this whole discussion, which was dead in the middle of that episode, to kind of give out the podcast in a bit more bite-sized chunks so people can enjoy them. I mean, this is still like a 40-minute discussion, but I think it's highly enjoyable. We kind of get into talking about TV on the internet on the TV, and we definitely go deep into technology, which is something we don't do enough on this podcast. I mean, I kind of always nudge my co-hosts away from it, because I know that when they get started, and you'll hear it here, that it's almost impossible to pull them back into film, and I'm not too sure how much you guys like that, but let's see how much you like it. So here's the episode, and just enjoy movies. This week, I kind of wanted to talk about the internet and television. We've seen a weird shift over the last few years, where television shows are now trying to incorporate the internet and streaming into what they're doing. At the same time, we've seen a handful of shows or properties which started out on the internet are now getting a chance on television. And I was reading, I saw news posted where it's announced that Joseph Gordon-Levitt, one of our favorite current actors, who, I don't know if you guys have ever visited his site, Hit Record, is going to be doing a variety show based on all of his projects over on Hit Record. You guys, have you ever guys been to Hit Record?
Nope.
Once or twice.
At no point ever.
You know what it is, Damien?
I'm aware of what websites are.
Oh, shit.
You're an asshole.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Guys, remember who you're talking to.
So for people who don't know, Hit Record is this space that Joseph Gordon-Levitt opened up, where he allows for complete open source collaboration to then create end product stories for us to enjoy. It works in a way such that person A can write a short story and post it up. Person B can write a melody to say, I want this to go with the story. Person C can take a few pictures. And someone goes and puts it all together and says, here's a thing that everyone can enjoy. And people upvote it. It's like Dig and all these social media stuff. And he's been having a lot of live shows where he goes out and shows this stuff. He's released records as well as DVDs, which have been doing well. And now he's going to be doing this variety show, which I can only assume will incorporate all of the best content that's come from this project. We've seen before things like Funny or Die, who had a short stint on HBO. I even see now that Nerdist is going to be getting a TV/talk show over on the BBC.
But Nerdist actually got that in, isn't it?
A couple years ago.
Yeah. The second season just started.
Well, that is true, but the first season was very much, if I understood it correctly, very much like TV specials only, where they're like, look, we want you for this one thing, and you can go back in the corner.
Oh, okay.
But this is like a full season request that they're doing now. So I'm guessing they're going to plan out a lot more interesting stuff. And I'm looking forward to watching the season 2 stuff, because I have that to watch. But what do you guys feel about this intermingling of internet and television? And is it testing waters that we're in at this point, where we don't know whether we're going to get automatic good or automatic bad?
All right, so this, what I'm about to say is not really from me. I know Andrew had stopped listening to the Kevin Smith podcast because of whatever.
I actually started back a couple weeks ago.
Right. On one of the smartcasts, Kevin Smith was talking about the fact that he has comic book men and like some other properties, like comic book men, has gotten on television. And how he explained it was, if you have a big enough fan base on the internet, and you can convert those to people actually watching your show, and you can make a show for not a lot of money, then it is worth it for the networks to put you on television in hopes that you'll watch the show that you've come for, and then you'll stay for some other things, most likely. And as long as the show retains its core audience and costs nothing, because most of these internet properties aren't big budget. It's not Game of Thrones. It's not even Law and Order. It is small things that they keep the scale low, so that if the audience doesn't balloon, it doesn't matter. They'll still be making enough revenue. And so I think that they're going to do that more and more, because one of the good things and one of the bad things about the internet is that you can make it as narrow as you want. If you don't want to find out something when you go on the internet, there are places you can go where you will never find it out. And if you like a thing, so oh my god, what those, the 30 second video that took over the world, the Harlem Shake, right? If someone said, Damon White, we're going to put on a 1 hour Harlem Shake special on TV, I would watch it, but I'm a moron. Andrew would not watch it because it is the worst.
I'd probably turn it on to be like, what's going on? And then 20 seconds in, go, fuck this shit.
Wait, hold on. I have to break podcast and show Damien something. I am going to go to YouTube and search for Do the Harlem Shake.
Yep.
Wait.
I saw it.
Oh, you see it?
Yeah. Okay. I still love it.
I love this shit.
I love Google.
Honestly have only watched two of these videos ever, but like, look at that shit.
Douglas Robinson.
This is awesome. Yeah. I found that out today.
Google.
Sorry, Andrew.
Google is amazing.
We went over to the Unnamed Tech Podcast for about two seconds. We are now back to the movie podcast. Go ahead.
So there's the Harlem Shake video for Gran Turismo 5. Which, for people who doesn't know, Gran Turismo is a car game. It is a car racing game. And there is a Harlem Shake video for Gran Turismo 5. And this is amazing. The point is, if you can find a big enough audience for whatever madness you do, taking it to television is the logical next step. Because that is the easiest way to grow your audience, essentially. Yes, there's Twitter and Facebook and whatever. But if people don't want to watch whatever you have on the internet already, putting it on TV is the quickest way to gain a large audience. And so I think networks are going to continue to look at things on the internet that are popular, because it is essentially testing the waters for them without them having to do all of the legwork. And then they take a bigger gamble saying, well, if this much people saw it on a website, then we can get at least some of those people to watch it on TV, and TV is where we make all our money. And then what I'm pretty sure is going to start happening, I mean, it's happened sometimes already, but I'm sure that in the future what they'll do in order to pick shows is just flood the internet with all of the pilot episodes of all of the shows, see which one gets the most hits, and then green light whatever that project is, which I think makes sense. It will, you know, it will get people. It's kind of a sorting process, and you'll know that whatever you see on TV definitely has an audience, instead of just watching things on television sometimes where you go, who on earth is watching this?
But yeah, no, Andrew, for this internet thing, I think it's going to continue. I don't know whether to say it's a good or a bad thing, but I think it's, in theory, a good thing, because really, all of these memes and these videos that, you know, skyrocket on YouTube and wherever else, they get famous. Why? Because people like them. right? And the truth of the matter is that all media right now is converging, and TV is no longer TV anymore. In, I would say, at the most 5 years, TV is going to be very much Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and that kind of thing. Nobody's ever going to say to themselves, oh shit, I have to work late today, so I have to go and videotape my favorite shows. Episode of Veronica Mars or whatever. That's not going to happen. Everything is going to be on demand. And just like what Veronica Mars did to me, which is that I now watch much less movies and much more TV shows because it's kind of smaller chunks. Essentially, that is now going to happen to TV. TV shows, or rather, the more popular things are going to be, and they are now at least on the internet, just maybe not on the big TV setting, are like internet videos, or not really, they won't be internet videos anymore. They will be essentially mini TV shows, and they will be in smaller chunks. They'll be 5 to 10 minutes long. You'll get a laugh out of it, or maybe it will be a news broadcast or something, whatever it is. And you'll get it in your 5 to 10 minute chunk. You'll watch maybe 10 of them and be like, okay, that's me for the day. And so I think it's a good thing in the sense that it gives the people what they want. I'm sure there are things that will come out of it that I will like and that Damien will like and that you will like. But as with giving people what they want, you get into the problem, which all three of us have a big problem with, especially here, is that most of the time people want foolishness. And so you'll see a lot of crap, which is, I mean,
that's the norm. No.
I mean, look at television, as you say. Right. Look at Revenge, look at Grimm, look at, there are all sorts of TV shows that I just don't want to watch. Under no circumstances would I ever watch them.
So you think you're the best singer, 4,000 Big Brothers, TV is just a train wreck of garbage, but yeah. people watch it anyway.
Exactly.
We think we're above it, but we all find some madness to watch. The only part of television that is unlikely to change, and that's because it is, for most people, time sensitive, is sports. Douglas Robinson said that.
But hold on, Damien, do you really think that will never change? Because to be quite honest, yes. I mean, I have cancelled my cable subscription and I am subscribing to Fox Soccer to Go, which is their on-demand service where I can watch sports live, but they also have a slate of matches which are stored and you can watch on demand at later in the day.
Do they have all English Premier League matches?
They have any ones that Fox Soccer is already have. So
that's most of the English Premier League.
Yeah, but yeah. At least, well, I don't know how they work, because that would be for the US market. I don't know. Do they get most Chelsea matches for the US market?
They get a good amount. Like, because the only ones that I know are given over to ESPN are the early Saturday morning matches.
Because I know that Sportsmax in Jamaica has most of the big matches. Right.
But even Sportsmax, they just rip from Fox Soccer most times.
No, actually, Sportsmax owns the rights to all of the EPL in the Caribbean.
No, yeah, but what I mean is what they're presenting to you. Sometimes you'll even see the Fox Soccer logo in the corner. Because in the Caribbean they do that. But outside of the Caribbean, in America, it's usually Fox Soccer or ESPN. All
right. Well, Andrew, what I'm not saying that you won't ever be able to stream sports on a computer. That is not the argument I'm having. What I'm saying is the only thing that people will set time, because as Douglas said, no one is going to go, if I don't get home by 10 o'clock and watch this episode, life as I know it is over. In fact, tonight is the finale of Walking Dead, and Game of Thrones starts tonight.
Yep.
I'm watching neither of them tonight.
Yeah.
Actually, we're all here talking about movies instead.
Right?
Yeah.
And, but with sports, you're thinking about, I can watch it streaming online and so what. But, Andrew, you're already in your house, sitting down, streaming this thing over your laptop when you could have just connected it to your television. What you're doing is no different from what you used to do. You're just using essentially a different medium in order to get it. Most people are comfortable sitting down watching ESPN whenever the game is on, be it football, basketball, Formula One, Sky Sports. Like, the reason we think lower of sports in Jamaica is because we have terrible sports networks. If I could spend money and get Sky Sports or BBC here in Jamaica, whatever the figure that they come up with, I would have paid that and would have happily paid it forever, because you sit down and you say, I want to watch sports. It is what I want to watch. What? In fact, a lot of the time, people just watch whatever is on the sports network. ESPN has run the numbers countless times, and they're like, we think that people, like, traffic spikes, you know, when some big match is going on, but that is not the case. Traffic for ESPN spikes early in the morning before people go to work, and late in the night after the news, because people sit down and go, I'm watching SportsCenter, I'm watching whatever ESPN is showing. And so sports can get away with it. Everybody else is on warning. Let us know that, look, guys, we're going to have to do this eventually, because when people are driving to work, when people are, you know, doing this, doing that, the fact that they'll stop and watch whatever it is we're showing us is advantageous to us. It might break our old business model, but all of the people who grew up with our old business model is slowly dying out, and only leaving these people that refuse to buy a television.
No, we don't refuse to buy a television, we refuse to buy a cable.
Right. And we'll pay $1 billion for Netflix. We're not paying for cable even for us. And so
alright.
Yeah.
One little point, and one little thought that I was having, is that all of these things are birthed on the internet. Right. Hit Record, Nerdist, all of these things, where people can have their on-demand moments. What are the networks going to think if, when they bring it over to them, that they realize that 70% or 60% or a big chunk at the very least of their viewership comes from on-demand viewings of their shows?
They'll just find a way to market to them. They've been doing it for years. Let's look at the music industry as an example. For years, they fought YouTube, because YouTube was the devil. They already lost selling CDs to Apple, and they saw YouTube as the thing that would finally murder because every single song that they put out is on YouTube, will never make a cent again. Vivo is now the biggest earner on YouTube. All they put out is music videos. Because they realize, hey, if people are going to do this, why not just advertise to them and hope that they buy our shit? And it has worked. As everyone in the world predicted, if you do this thing, it will work. And people have, like, you have to understand, Andrew, that at some point, the ones and zeros that is being sent to your house and being split up, once it gets to your house, some ones and zeros go to the TV, some goes to the internet, some goes wherever. At some point, it simply won't matter. They'll just go, all right, look. We're going to send you this information. We are going to open this dumb pipe. This is just this big pipe. Whatever you want out of that pipe, feel free to go and get it. Just pay us this block of money and know that we're going to advertise to you non-stop. At least with television, you got, you know, 15 minutes before someone said, all right, we're going to pause for 15 minutes and play you these ads. On the internet, you literally be watching something and a giant ad comes out of nowhere. You're like, guys, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, actually, can I tell you, that's one of the things, while I understand what Google is doing. Google is like, guys, we've given this to you for free for a long time.
Yeah.
It's time for us to make money now. But that's one of the things I hate about YouTube now, is that, and they're smart about it, you know.
Yes.
Because if, as soon as the video started, it came up, I'd just be like, oh, that's fine, just turn it off, I'm good. It waits like 15 seconds, 20 seconds for you to get into the whole
once you've clicked the vibe. Maximize the full screen button and then oh he's far away from the mouse. Yeah. They're like, oh here's this ad.
Those bitches. But
Andrew, I mean, what you're concerned about is the future. And
it's yes, the future.
You're concerned about the wrong part of the future.
No, what Andrew
we need
is,
to be concerned
Andrew's
about
becoming
is...
an old person, right? And we are that because I'm worried about certain things as well. But what
there's someone here becoming an old person very soon.
Shut up. So no, what I mean to say is that you know you always think about it. Look at so you think about to yourself. For instance, the music people, the record labels, you're like, oh, they're all old people and don't understand that the new business model is to go online and do this and do that. Andrew, you are becoming an old person. Hey. Let me tell you why. Because what you're saying essentially is, I want to keep my movies and my TV shows the same
and
way
my internet,
because I like
the internet.
These things
yes.
And the internet is going to... Stop that. The internet is going to make sure that I don't get my TV
if
shows.
If the internet
anymore.
Turns into and TV, then all of this is ruined.
Yes, guys, that's what I'm saying. Right. We can't have the internet go to TV because then I don't have my TV
the
subscription.
TV
I won't
ruin
see the internet.
And the internet is ruining the TV as we speak. Thank God for movie theaters or we'll all be screwed. Andrew, the part of the future that you need to worry about is the amount of bandwidth that you are going to need in order to get all of this nonsense. 4K is going to be horrendous on your bandwidth. But 4K is about 9 to 10 years away from being fully saturated.
Damien.
Everywhere.
Damien. For your 4K, I'll give you the same argument we had when Blu-ray just started. I don't know why I need all those pixels.
Yeah, man. You don't. You don't need any of the pixels. You can listen to audio only. Yeah. Watch a 0 pixel movie and then get back. But this is just like my biggest fear until essentially January was everyone has tablets, everybody has smartphones. Smartphones and tablets ran this lightning quick race to where it is now, where 3 years ago it was garbage and now it is the hardware is way too powerful for anything that the software can do. I realize that the generation coming behind me won't watch things how I used to watch things. They won't watch things on TV. They might not even go that much to the theaters because they won't need to. Most of the things they'll watch will be on tiny phone screens or slightly larger tablet screens. But those screens are terrible for watching movies. You can't calibrate any of them. They're all made out of AMOLED, which is, while it is pleasant to look at whatever you're looking at in terms of apps, when it comes to video, it blows out all of the colors and whatnot. The things that I am concerned with about video. Sony in January started calibrating their phone screens and started implementing things like that. And I'm like, all right, Damien, I didn't even cross my mind that, of course, at some point, this is what was bound to happen. People are going to stop and go, all people do on our phones is use Facebook and watch video. At some point, we need to make our phones present video better and make our phones sound better. And clearly, that will be the next arms race. So while I won't approve of people watching feature-length movies 2 hours on a screen the size of your hand, I can turn to that person and say, you had a lesser experience than me because I have a 60-inch giant TV that costs zillions of dollars. Because then someone could look at me and go, well, you had a terrible experience because I have this 100-inch projection in my house. That is vastly superior to whatever garbage you're watching on TV. And so I realized that was what I was being an old man about. And I went, no, Damien, the technology will simply compensate. Right? There are screens, like the Nexus 10 has a higher resolution screen than any TV I can buy right now. The Nexus 10, did I say that?
I wasn't even.
Whichever one, the Samsung Nexus 10 has, and the iPad with Retina have larger resolutions than any television. And so if you sit down and watch it from close enough, you should be able to see most of the detail. It won't look as spectacular as if you bought this awesome TV, but you're still getting the point of the movie across. And if you buy headphones or when they build better speakers into these things,
mm-hmm.
you'll be able to experience the movie here. And that is nothing but awesome. It's not like that's a worthwhile thing. I remember watching Juno on my Arcos years ago, and I enjoyed it there. And that screen is garbage.
Yes, it was. Oh my goodness! I remember you were staunchly defending.
I just want everyone to know that I had what Douglas is describing is a tablet that was out 18 months before an iPad was introduced to the world.
Yeah, but hold on. The iPhone did exist, though.
No, it did not.
Yes, it did, because mm-hmm. I had one. Remember?
No.
Yes.
No. When I bought
not when he just got no, the
when I just
the,
got
the
my
Arcos.
Your iPhone did not
when,
exist.
When did you just get yours?
I got mine in 2006.
Oh, fuck you.
Okay.
All right. Whatever.
And I had it for a long time, and then you got the iPhone, and I still had my Arcos, and it was amazing. Then I bought the second generation of the Arcos, then the third generation of the Arcos, realized that this was
garbage.
All rubbish, and I still don't have a tablet to this day. Although I really should.
Yeah, you should.
But Andrew, stop being an old man. If you want to worry about things, worry about global warming. The fact that the sun is so hot and I don't have solar energy is the biggest scam in the world. I went outside today and almost died. The sun is the devil.
But listen, you know what I actually am worried about? Now,
bandwidth. We're so screwed.
Well, bandwidth, bandwidth is one thing, but I...
Hello, Flo should rectify that.
Yeah, but as with what you said before about screens, I do believe that it's kind of like a build it and they will come scenario. Mm-hmm. Google is doing it in Kansas, and they're expanding to like the next town over.
Right.
But people will eventually say and create easily replicable, mm-hmm. whatever, systems that give you whatever bandwidth you need, right? But what I'm worried about is actually it's almost a near term worry too, because this is what I want to do today. What's going to happen, and we've spoken about this already, is the cloud is going to take over. Nobody is going to have these big hulking computers that we have, well, mm-hmm. except for us, because
right.
we're just old.
We're
people.
Lunatics.
But, and even if they have these big hulking computers, the files, other than your mission critical operating system files, will actually not be on your computer. They're going to be somewhere. And what I want to do, and why I've been researching it, and why you might see that me and Andrew are having an argument on Twitter about how Dropbox is great, but Amazon is way cheaper, is I want to kind of get there today. I can't bother with this foolishness about, you know, keeping everything on site. Because to tell you the truth, thanks to what I now call the great hard drive,
the hard drive incident of
2012, I realize now that I have lost a lot of things.
Yes.
I lost a lot of my music,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm slowly but surely putting back on with my CDs.
So that was our net benefit.
Yeah. I lost actually something I realized on Thursday. I lost my thesis and my all of my web development files that I have messed around with.
So again, a net benefit.
No, it's not a net benefit, because I've actually started coding again, which was nice, but it was hard to...
But your thesis was terrible. I read it.
Actually, my thesis got an A, thank you very
much. For awful.
But no, all of my web development files, from the RSS reader that I created... Right. To the one quarter of a blog that I created, all gone. But no, anyway,
okay.
There are a lot of files that I've lost. Right, that would never happen in the cloud. But hold on.
Right,
my main point mm-hmm. is not really the cloud, because the cloud is there. It works. It's great. Right, and what I've been arguing over is the fact that Amazon doesn't have an automatic sync tool for Ubuntu, which
okay.
pisses me off, because it is literally 50% the cost of Dropbox, and I will soon have to start paying for that. But what I want to do is I want to take all of my music and all of my movies, rip them and put them on the cloud and watch them from the cloud.
Google can do that for you, music, if you live in the States.
Yeah, exactly.
No one will do that for your video.
Yeah, so hold on. Because I know that I can do this. I can literally rip it. I have a Blu-ray drive. I have a CD drive. I can rip it. I have the programs to do it. And then I can put it on the cloud and upload it. What my concerns are has nothing to do with the cloud. It has everything to do with legislation and copyright law. So what I am worried about is that unless you are a part of an iTunes or Amazon-like system, which is tightly closed and DRM'd up the ass, you will not be able to store your movies on the cloud. And that is a shame, because that's what the cloud is there for. It is for you to have all of your shit on there to make sure that you don't lose it because you accidentally pressed a button that said format your drive. And
accidentally. Erase everything off this computer.
Exactly.
Oh, I should not erase everything off my computer.
But Douglas, I'm willing to say that I don't think we're quite ready to be at the cloud yet. Because, and I mean, I don't want to devolve this into further tech talk. But did you guys hear the news about, is it SimCity 5, which was just released?
SimCity, it's just SimCity.
Oh. That's the name, right? Yeah. Which was just released by EA. And they had developed this game and they decided to make sure that people can't pirate. That when they ship the game, they only ship you a thin client that will give you access to the game over the internet. And all of, not just images or what, all of the actual code logic of how the game works is run on a server over by EA. And when opening weekend came for this, the server was murdered by everyone trying to play the game.
Of course.
Right?
As well as
yeah.
Right? No one could log in. No one could. And I mean, the whole of this was to incorporate not only DRM, but for people to be able to have less space on their hard drive taken up, people being able to allow for a lot more interconnective gameplay and all these things. But we didn't not even EA had the infrastructure to handle the amount of people using it. Right. And if we're going to go to the cloud era, right, we can't just say only Douglas should have the access to it. But everyone's going to have access to all of these servers, and we have to have the infrastructure to deal with that server stand up.
Oh,
right?
True.
And
all right,
I don't think we're there yet.
I think Andrew's concern is the lesser concern.
Yeah.
As Douglas said,
they will come.
They will build it.
Exactly. Right? And the truth of the matter is, while certain aspects aren't there, right, EA clearly didn't get their shit straight. Look at Netflix. Netflix is probably one of the biggest streaming / cloud services right now. And I have almost zero problems with them. And most people have no problems with them. Yes, every once in a while, things might go slow. But to tell you the truth, it's probably because of my connection.
So, Douglas. When you talk about the cloud.
Yeah.
We don't really want to.
Uh-huh.
I would love for this to be tech talk.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Andrew will turn us both off. The cloud is essentially the black box that you have beside you. But it is somewhere else that stores zillions of files.
Right.
The last time Amazon EC2 went down, a fraction of percentage of people lost all their shit. Because when hard drives fail, you can come up with all the redundancies in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's just times when shit goes bad and people get screwed.
True.
It's happened to Amazon. It has happened to Google.
It just happened to me.
Google lost people's Gmail accounts.
Yeah.
And that was the scariest thing I ever heard. I'm like, what? No, Google. When I signed up for this free service I don't pay for, I didn't understand it.
That you would always work.
My email. But that is also not a major concern. Again, when that time comes, they find ways to work around that.
Yeah.
They will have so many redundancies that even if they shut off half the company, you'll still be able to get your file. The problem will always be getting the data. when you leave your house, you are now reliant on two networks,
mm-hmm.
Digicel and Cable and Wireless,
mm-hmm.
who move at the speed of nothing. They don't move. It has not moved since I've been alive. I think we've had 3G now for 900 years, and it's getting slower over time. What you're setting yourself up for, and what a lot of people don't remember, is that when we think of the internet, we think of you're at home, the internet is on, and your Wi-Fi is throughout.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't remember is that when you leave your house, all of that breaks down, because
yeah.
then mobile data is a whole different structure.
Mm-hmm.
The pipeline for mobile data, especially here, is
it's
ridiculous.
Horrendous. Yeah.
We won't get 4G until after I am dead.
Yeah.
You're also not remembering that when the light goes away, then everything else goes away.
Yeah, yeah.
If the internet goes down, you then have nothing. Remember, like, the internet doesn't go down a lot. Even for a country like ours,
mm-hmm.
doesn't go down a lot. But a lot of that is mitigated by the fact that even if the internet goes down, 99% of what I need is local.
Mm-hmm.
If the internet breaks and anything can happen, though.
Yeah,
right? A government, the government can literally pivot and go, you know, all this freedom that you had on the internet, you no longer have it. It's happened in many, many countries. A government can shut off the internet. What happens then?
Let me tell you what happens then. Mm-hmm. I get screwed. But also, look at a service like, say, Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
While I don't do it selectively, I actually have all of my things synced. You have everything in my Dropbox is locally stored.
Right.
Right? I didn't have to do that. Like, I could decide that all of these podcasts that we record don't store that locally because
right.
that's a lot. So just keep that on the server. So it's not a big issue.
But that's
lunatic. To store
but you started out by saying lunatics like me and you will have things locally stored.
Yeah.
When the cloud becomes so prevalent that you no longer feel the need, you're like, look, the internet works. Right? We no longer store emails local to our computers. All our emails is on Gmail somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We don't have Outlook saving all of them in case
yeah.
anything goes bad. But when you hand everything over to something that is not yours, not nearby and can be cut off, every day you run the risk, and it is a massive, massive risk. If America decides, if say George Bush's son or one of his daughters takes over as the president,
why would you go there?
And she says, lollipops are everybody and no more internet. You're screwed. What if, say, let's say Joel takes over as the Prime Minister of Jamaica. And Joel says, we'll only stream football, everything else is screwed. These things, and they keep writing laws in all these countries, because we don't really know where any of these things are. We think we have an idea of where Amazon is storing our shit,
yeah.
but there's no way for us to know where physically the thing that we have is. Things change. Anything can change. They've been writing laws trying to shut down pieces of the internet for years and years. Facebook has so much power. Facebook can lobby one day and get something passed that says, yo, the only thing that you can stream music through is Facebook. What if you no longer use Facebook, right? Then you no longer have access to any of that. Remember, you know, we are thinking about the internet as the Wild West as it exists today, where 99% of the madness that you want, you have full access to because it is wildly unregulated. There will come a point where smart people and greedy people will sit down and try to funnel the internet. Netflix can team up with, say, Flow.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll only be able to get Netflix if you use Flow.
Mm-hmm.
Then what do you do? Say, Amazon teams up with Cable and Wireless and says, all right, EC2 works best if you use Cable and Wireless. So you have all the things on Amazon. You have Flow. And even though you have all the bandwidth in the world, you can't stream it down properly.
But you see, the funny thing is, Damien, that while you're making these ridiculous arguments, you're right, you know. But also, that's exactly what I was saying, even though I went specifically to copyright law.
Right.
Really and truly, my concern is legislation and the fact that, you know, my biggest concern, because that's what I really want to do, is can I put my movies that I have paid my money for, take them off of the disc that could potentially break or scratch, put them onto a file somewhere in the cloud. I probably can't do that legally because of copyright law right now. I don't think I can.
Unless you're building that cloud yourself.
Exactly, right? But copyright law isn't the only law that has that sort of far-reaching effects or implications. And so, yeah, that's really my concern. And that's the biggest thing that I have concern about.
Like, I know that part of the reason how we're thinking is because we grew up in a time before all of this. Right? I'm sure the generation behind us won't know what a disc is. They'll have Netflix.
No, they won't. No, they won't. They, however, also won't know what 1080p is either.
It will just be, oh, this is what things look like. Yeah. Anything lower than 1080p will be like a razor stabbing.
Oh, no. They won't get 1080p, not with the bandwidth that we have. Right. Netflix don't have anything named 1080p. They've got HDX, which I think is like 480 to 720, somewhere in that region.
So
I like I not P.
I like how we've all, you know, we all have some amount of old man itis.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that one day none of us takes a stand and goes, I'm not taking this step. Because that is our first in a lot of steps that you won't be taking. And then you'll be a Luddite. You'll wake up one day.
Everyone.
The whole world will be in Google Glass and close that talk to you, and you'll be on your own.
Can I tell you, I really want Google Glasses. I would like some.
Because
of
we're giant nerds.
So, everyone, I'd like to welcome you to the Unnamed Tech Podcast, episode 2.
Yeah, we knew this was going to happen. This is your fault.
This is a reminder to myself to never bring up technology.
Yep. Ever again. I love technology, guys. To a psychotic degree. At least I didn't talk about all the things I wanted to talk about, like audio. In fact, audio compression is the worst.
I'm probably going to cut this and put it out as a separate episode.
No, we won't.
Can I tell you, you know what we need to do? Another reason the cloud needs to take off the way it should. One, you spoke about wireless internet, essentially mobile internet.
Yeah.
That internet needs to get better. And when it does, and when I can have unlimited 4G, at least 4G internet, then what needs to happen is all of my music needs to be in FLAC.
Yes,
and none
again.
Of my music needs to be on my phone, because size no longer matters, and
no,
I just stream it.
The thing is, Flash is going to get so big in like another couple of years that you'll have like 500 gigs on your phone.
Well, yeah, more than likely with all of these SSD drives that they're making. Yeah, right. But
stop before Andrew turns off this podcast.
Yeah, sorry.
Andrew Robinson.
Andrew.
Please take us to somewhere far, far away from this podcast. I can hear people shutting off their iPods as we speak.
No, fuck you.
Anyone who still has an iPod listening to this.
Exactly. Listen, get like a proper Android device, please. None of this Apple
bullshit. No, I'll allow the Apple people. Right. Just so because. But they'll usually have iPhones.
The last thing I'm going to say, before we get off this topic, because you bastards just ripped into iPods or whatever, I have already purchased a standalone MP3 player.
Wait, already as in when you were younger, or did it?
Like, just did it.
What is wrong with you?
It is $99.
Why did you buy it?
It is Sony Walkman. It is 4 gigabytes.
Four gigabytes?
They sit in your ear. There is no on-screen display. And they are waterproof. You can swim in them. You can run in them. They're perfect.
They're not
perfect.
They
are
perfect. They're bullshit.
It's the first product. It's the first time I saw a standalone. Douglas, think about what you use your phone to do 60% of the
time.
No,
I understand. What you want to do is just listen to shit while you're running.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you don't want to have your phone.
And
like
while you're doing literally everything else. Alright? It frees my phone up for doing other nonsense. So, yeah.
But 4 gigs is small, though.
What? It's just podcasts and books.
Okay, fair enough.
Andrew Robinson, once again, please. Save us from running.
So that kind of was it. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you liked the podcast. You can go and subscribe to it over on iTunes. You can use the RSS. You can get it over on the website, gmanreviews.com. The podcast is now available via Stitcher if you're a Stitcher user. I don't know. I kind of like the app. I was trying it out the other day when I got the email saying, yes, it's added. And that was kind of awesome. I'd love for you guys to rate, review the podcast, and remember, as always, you can contact me via email, andrew.orbinson@gmanreviews.com. I'm on Twitter at gmanreviews. Douglas is at DJR, lost his name. Damien is at Damien_White. Even though I'm sure I should probably stop telling people that because he doesn't really use it. He's not that kind of he's not into social media. He only wants to talk to, I don't know, real life people. What's wrong with him? He needs the internet. Yeah, let me know what you think of this little experiment that I'm doing here, and I hope to hear back from y'all. Thanks for listening, and good night.